Hi, I want to welcome everybody today and all of our campuses and those of you who are joining online as well. We're delighted that we get to share in this worship experience together. And this weekend's a big highlight for me because it's our Vision Weekend, a time when we get to tell some of the stories of God's faithfulness and dream into the future that God is leading us to. In case you're wondering, I got my sticky name on. My name's James. If I've lost outside, send me home. It'll be okay. It's also a weekend where we start a brand new series that we're calling Here, There, and Everywhere. Jesus once said to his friends, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth." And for the next few weeks, we want to ponder these words of Jesus together to discover what God is up to in Calgary and in Canada and around our world. Today we're going to get some insight to hear what's happening in Calgary, there in Canada, and everywhere around our world. Each weekend we're going to focus in on one particular one, knowing this, that it is God's Spirit that is at work in us. It's God's Spirit who enables. Have you ever noticed that sometimes there are marker moments in life, things that you come back to, you easily remember, they tell some of your story or family story? In 2001, my family and I moved from Switzerland, where we lived, to go and live in Kentucky in the United States while I was studying at seminary there for a year. And we'd been provided a home, a lovely little town home to live in, and we were looking forward to being there. We got in one evening, got into the house, we're sitting down, everybody was quite tired, and suddenly it felt like an earthquake. The building was shaking, stuff was falling off. We were like, "What is going on?" Turns out there was a freight train rail track about 20 or 30 feet behind our house. Nobody had ever mentioned this in the details. And it would come every couple of hours, day or night, 7 days a week. The whole house would shake. And because there was a level crossing, a crossing point about 500 meters away from us where there'd been an accident a few years ago, that train would blow its horn right at our house all night long. It was chaos. One of the fun things that happened in the whole thing, though, was when the kids were going to school in their yellow bus, they had to cross over the train tracks, and because there had been an accident, the bus driver wanted everybody to know what they were doing. So they would stop before they hit the tracks, all the kids would shout out, "Train tracks!" And then the bus would drive on. My children are all adults right now. Anytime we're in a car, we cross over a train track, the entire family all shouts out, "Train tracks!" It's true. It's a marker moment. I want us to look at something like that. A marker moment in the life of God's people. It's a story we find in the Old Testament, the first half of our Bible, the first book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 7. And beginning at verse 7, here's what happens. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, "Do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines." Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." God's people have left Egypt, and they're on their way to the promised land. They've made it through the sea. They've made it across the wilderness. They've finally arrived, but it's not been plain sailing. They continually end up in dispute with their neighbors, often violently with the group called Philistines. Most of us might remember, many of us would at least, the story of David and Goliath. Goliath the big giant, he was a Philistine. Though this story, the incident I just read to you, happened long before King David. God's people felt that they were doomed and desperate. The tide was turning against them. They were in trouble and they knew it. Samuel was their prophet and their judge. He was the closest thing they had to a leader. He represented God to them and he represented them to God. And so they turn to Samuel for help, and Samuel cries out in prayer, and God hears, and God responds, and they live to fight another day. It's a simple story, really. But it's what happens next that really intrigues me. Samuel got himself a big rock. He probably came from Okotoks originally. He had a naming ceremony, and he made a profound statement. I've pastored churches in three different European countries. And so often I think that I'm well aware, at least I believe I am in my own little world, that I'm aware of the challenges that face churches today as we move closer to the margins of public life. We're beginning to experience what Jesus' friend Peter would call being exiles. It's a new way to live our faith and impact our world from the very edge and the corners. At times that seems unsettling. Some people feel that we're doomed and desperate too. But I remain convinced deep in my heart that even in the current challenges of life and society, that Jesus' church can not only survive, it can thrive. We're not as likely to be placing big rocks around the place to remind us of things. We do have statues, though, that often recall the deeds of famous people. One of the ones that I really enjoy is down by Arts Commons at Olympic Plaza. It commemorates the famous five, those five ladies, Emily Murphy, Nellie McClung, Henrietta Muir Edwards, Louise McKinney, and Irene Parlby. They did remarkable things, drawn together by the tides of history these Albertan women shared and a common idealism. Each one was a leader in her own right. One was a police magistrate. One was a legal expert who founded the National Council for Women. Three of them served as members of the Legislative Assembly of Alberta, all before women were ever legally defined as persons in Canada. And together, they fought and they won the battle for the right for women to vote. It's fun going, yeah, you can be happy about that. It's fun actually going to look at those sculptures. They almost invite you to sit and chat with them. There's a chair you can sit on. You can go up and talk to them. They don't say much back, but it works for me. But when you get up close, you can see what artist Barbara Patterson has done, creating realistic portraits of these women that share some of their sense of personality with us. The statues remind us of a significant event in the history of our nation that we shouldn't forget. A more personal level. We often use photographs to help us remember. Many of you would know that we have three adult children who all live in the Netherlands. They finished school and university there. They found true love there. We get to see them a couple of times a year, but I get to see them every day on my phone. I keep their photo there so I can remember, so I can think about them, so I can pray for them. It matters for me to remember them daily. It matters to me to pray for them daily. And a simple photograph keeps them at the forefront of my mind and my heart. That's really what's going on here in the story of Samuel. God has intervened to rescue his people miraculously, and they wanted something that would remind them of the moment. And so they set up this large standing stone. This past summer, when we were back in Europe visiting with our kids, we had the opportunity to visit a little island off the west coast of Scotland called Iona. It's tiny. You can walk across it in about 30 minutes. I've wanted to go there for most of my life to visit. Here's the reason why. It's where a man named Columba, a missionary, and 12 of his team first arrived in Scotland. They set up camp there. They built a little monastery. And from there, they moved out across a nation to tell people about Jesus. In their own lifetime, these 13 men won an entire nation to faith in Jesus Christ. How remarkable is that? Do you believe that could ever happen again? One of the things you can see when you're on the island are these high Celtic crosses carved out of stone that tell the story of Jesus and the images on them that remind us of who Jesus is and all he has done. This big stone that Samuel sets up is like one of those high crosses. It's a reminder of our God and all he's done for them. Samuel gave the stone a name. He called it Ebenezer. Whenever I read that, I've always thought about Ebenezer Scrooge, but this was a long time before Charles Dickens wrote A Christmas Carol. In their language at the time, Hebrew, Eben is the word for stone. Ezer is the word for help. Literally, it's the help stone. Not that the stone itself helped, but it reminds them of the God who did help. And Samuel was careful to make sure nobody got the two confused. In verse 12, we read this: Samuel took a stone, set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." Some translations of the Bible will say this: "Hitherto, the Lord has helped us." Hitherto sounds like something my lawyer would say and then charge me $300 for the privilege. This far, thus far, we get the idea. God has rescued us today. He's brought us this far. By God's grace, we can keep going. You get moments in your life like that, that help you remember, that said, God brought me this far, and I know I can keep going because he's with me. Could be your baptism. Could be a miracle. Could be somebody he brought into your life. It could be a journal entry. What is it that sometimes helps you remember this far? God got me this far. I've got lots of stories in my life like that. One of the most recent happened for me last fall. You'd know that I was taking some medication. It was making me feel kind of ill. I had continual nosebleeds from it. I was losing weight through nausea. I was having anxiety attacks. It was creating social problems for me. One night, beginning of November, almost a year ago, I had a dream. And I dreamt that I was having a conversation with Jesus. And he said to me, "I'll heal you." I woke up, I told my wife, I phoned my kids, told them about it. And about a week later, our pastors were together on our annual prayer retreat. And one evening they gathered around me to lay hands on me and pray for me. And the most remarkable thing happened that day. Every single symptom I had stopped. No more nosebleeds, no more nausea, no more anxiety, no more. It stopped. And for those of you that take drugs that screw with your brain chemistry like I do, it's not just the case of stopping taking pills. That's a long journey to change that. But God did. It's a marker moment in my life that God has brought me this far. And I know I can keep going with him, whatever that looks like. This weekend, we want to look at some of those things and here at FAC. Reminders that this far, God has helped us. We want to tell some God-sized stories. A couple of years ago, I first introduced you to my crazy idea of M&Ms, which were easy to remember because we like the candy and we have giant characters that walk around the building at times. It was a series of goals that were defining, in a sense, or giving substance to the dream, the future that God has been calling us into. Our goals all began with M. The first M was momentum, that our attendance would consistently hit 4,000 people by 2018-19. The second M was missions, that we would be raising $1 million for international missions through our missions fund every year by 2022. The third M was multiplication, that we would launch a second ministry site by the fall of 2019. And the fourth was about money, that we would be completely debt-free by 2022. I'm going to change the order a bit as we walk through them. Think about missions, first of all. Our goal to increase our missions giving to $1 million by 2022. We've made significant steps forward in all of our missions goals, not just the big headline money one in this past year. And those goals and the steps forward we've made, they reflect something of our heart. And they reflect something about God's heart too. Here's what we've been working on when it comes to giving. We've continued to make significant forward progress toward this audacious headline goal of $1 million. Yet again, our undesignated giving to our missions fund has increased this year by $34,000. Our target is very much in sight. Our overall giving to missions has been for some time already exceeds $1 million. Because you're a generous people, and that generosity shows in how God has worked in our hearts. We're continuing to develop a sustainable model for financing our short-term mission trips. The grid screens on Main Street that you see quite often in the Deerfoot campus when you're out there, they help us better tell the story of missions through FAC, what God is up to in other places where we can help to finance those operations. They become a great meeting point for us when we have international workers coming to visit and share their story. We're currently looking at what options we can use for this at our new Southwest campus. We introduced a brand new missions festival in November 2017 called FEC International. It's happening here, both campuses, next weekend. We will have international workers speaking at both campuses. On the Sunday evening at the Deerfoot campus, we've got an international festival with great food, international workers to talk to, kids' activities, music, lots of fun exhibitions, a giving wall, prayer stations. It's going to be a great evening. And you could even learn what the possibilities would be for you to join one of our short-term teams next year. Our emphasis at these events continues to be to pray and to give and to go. This past year, we sent a number of short-term teams out to Moldova, Greece, Colombia, Austria, Germany, Thailand, Peru, and even to Montreal in our own nation. In total, 64 people went on mission. We're really praying that not just they have a great time there and that their hearts are changed to think about praying and giving. We're praying that some people that go on these trips would sense God's call to full-time international work. We're praying for that. One of our Thailand team about to deploy very soon is sensing God leading in that direction. And when everybody comes home, they're staying there to figure out what it is God is calling them to. We wanted to have a great feedback loop for you through our dessert and story evenings, where when people come home from those trips, you can hear their stories and the amazing things that God's up to. This past year, we have not only developed but solidified meaningful partnerships with All Nations Church in Phuket and Thailand and the 180 Church in Montreal. These longer-term partnerships are allowing us to have sustainable, meaningful impact in these cities and to learn from others the ways that God is using them that can help mold and shape our ministry here. We also hosted in the past summer the Compassion Experience with us out in the parking lot with 183 more children sponsored as a result of your generosity. Thank you for what you've done. In our past ministry year, FEC brought 81 refugees back here to Calgary, with 20 of them being directly sponsored by us, again because of your generosity. So let me ask you a simple question. What part do you think God would have for you to play in this? What's your part? One of our goals was to do with money that we'd be debt-free by 2022. We live in a challenging economy. You hardly need me to mention that. But it also calls for an adaptation of church economic models. This past year was complex for us, and a significant restructuring of our staffing model was required. Cost constraints brought us in under budget. We also improved our revenue stream with facility rentals to 66 different user groups, the result being that we have avoided going into deficit. But most of our income stream comes from your generosity, and I want to say thank you to you for that and encourage you to continually to faithfully give to our four main funds, our general fund that's paying for ministry to happen in our city on both campuses and online, our capital fund that maintains our facilities and helps to pay down our debt, our missions fund that's taking care of all our international and overseas activity to make Jesus famous wherever we go, and our care fund that we can come alongside people in need in our church and in our city. A full update of all of our finances is going to be available at our AGM on Monday evening at the Deerfoot campus. Here's some things I'd love for you to be aware of, though. We've been developing a stewardship strategy. Our finance and generosity course is called Living Within Your Means. It's in full swing. Lots of you have done it. I'd encourage you to try it if you haven't. The follow-on course is now operational too, called Living Well. If you've never registered for one of these, you should. We'll learn together about what it means to be stewards, managers of the stuff that God gives to us, how we take care of that, get our finances under control, and how we can discover the art of generosity, that our hearts would reflect God's heart too. In terms of debt reduction, you need to know that all of our expansions and upgrades have been fully funded. We have no residual debt from the All for Jesus expansion. We have no debt from the Deerfoot Campus Auditorium expansion. We have no debt from the launch of the FEC Southwest Campus. We do have a residual debt from the construction of the FEC Deerfoot Campus. It's down to $2 something million now. Our aim is to maintain our debt reduction schedule at $45,000 per month. This past year, with the economy being what it was, we didn't make the anticipated balloon payment of $250,000, but believe we're in a position to do that early in the new year. But here's the amazing news. The truly amazing news, it is almost certain that we will be at a debt load of $1 million outstanding by the spring of 2021. You know what my dream is? I'm the crazy one in the team. I dream that we can actually have $1 million month and pay it off in 1 month flat. We could be debt-free by spring 2021, one full year ahead of schedule. It's a real possibility, and do you know what that means? It frees up $540,000 annually in our budget that could be used for other avenues of ministry. Could you begin to imagine what we could do? Could you think about the possibilities, the opportunities to reach new people here, there, and everywhere? The possibilities we could bless people in our city, come alongside those in needs. The possibilities are endless. We are recognizing God opening for us doors in unprecedented ways, and we want to be ready for what He calls us to. So I'll ask you again, what part do you think you play in all of that? Momentum. Our goal has been to increase attendance to 4,000 people consistently by 2018 and 19. This has been by far of our four goals the most challenging one. We get all the way up and we bounce back a little bit. We get up again, we bounce back. It's like supervising an organized trampoline session around here. The 4,000 number, though, is not simply based on how many people come to FEC. It actually is based on how frequently we attend. And across North America, we're beginning to notice the trend that the frequency of church attendance is dropping. And I understand that. Many of us have aging parents that we've got to take care of. Several of us are like me, have children who live far away that you want to spend time with. Lots of us have careers that take us on significant business trips away from home. We get that. Nobody's guilting anyone here. But based upon leading research from an organization we partner with, we actually estimate that our impact, the people that call FEC home, the people that actually attend here every month, is now currently running at around 7,500 people. We just don't all come every week. I'd love to see you here, though, more often. Not for the feel-good factor, so I can tick my M. It's a question of discipleship. We actually need each other if we're going to grow spiritually. We need each other if we're going to become more missional and of greater impact. We need each other if we are to truly function of the body of Christ. We need each other. Here's some exciting news, though. We're able to count the foot traffic in and out of the Deerfoot campus right now. And in the past year, the past 12 months, the past 52 weeks, we had 321,000 people come through this building in 1 year. That is an outstanding indicator of the influence we have in our city. We baptized 169 people this past year and celebrated that almost 300 people came to faith in Jesus Christ. I call that momentum. Our women's ministry is growing in health. Our new student ministry team are doing a fantastic job with new students and lives being changed, faith commitments being made. Our commitment to prayer is deepening. We've got another week of prayer and fasting lined up coming soon. We can feel momentum. Here are some of the strategic steps that we have been taking that move us forward. Our Community Connect events. They've been opportunities for us to move from just coming to see what's going on to going to be the church in the neighborhoods where we live. To date, we've run these events for 38 different neighborhoods where we can help you meet people that live in your neighborhood, maybe on your street, that also attend FEC, where we can strengthen friendships, where we can discover the possibility of meaningful impact in our own neighborhoods, being the church of Jesus where we live. We've been working hard at our online presence, recognizing people don't just come to church anymore because of a personal invitation. There's a sense of brand recognition, weird as it sounds. There's this idea of doing what you would do when you're buying a car or looking for a vacation. You'll go online to search around and see what's happening. It's why we've been advertising in community newsletters and electronic billboards and C-train routes. It's why we broadcast high-definition video of our services on Facebook Live and on our website and on the FEC Experience app. We now reach 54 different countries with the broadcast. We've added in online weekly prayer sessions, courses, stories of life change, teaser videos for the weekend, most recently small groups. There are now 385 people participating in our online group, and our goal is to move people from click to connect, from chatting to church. The purpose is we're trying to create a funnel that would bring people into physical community on one of our campuses. Alpha continues to be the primary tool for us to introduce significant numbers of people to Jesus. You may have seen driving on Deerfoot past the Deerfoot campus, a giant Alpha banner on the wall. It continues to grow. Right now we have around 70 guests discovering who Jesus is and how he can change their lives. Yet again, we've been able to partner with others in our city to take Alpha into a number of high schools. And we're excited about the possibility of bringing Alpha to our Southwest campus in the new year. We've wanted to build connection spaces for you. Our intention has been for a long time to make big church feel small. Monthly, we have a shortened worship service to allow for more intentional time to connect afterwards. Wings and things on Saturday evening, crepes and conversations on Sunday morning. They're making spaces for us to meet new people, meet old friends, learn about people that live in my neighborhood, get to know people, and share and do life together. Church only grows when we all take responsibility to be the church. So could you tell a neighbor about Jesus? Would you tell a co-worker about Jesus? Would you dare to reach over the fence? Perhaps our biggest momentum push has been recently the launch of our second campus. Multiplication, our goal was to launch a second site by fall 2019, and praise God we did it. 2 years ago, we started talking about this, and all we had was a dream. Last year, I stood here, and we had a plan and a pastor. Today I stand here and tell you we have a second campus, FEC Southwest. We launched last weekend with 655 people in attendance at our very first service. And I want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Jeff Marshall and his team who worked so hard this past year to make this possible. Back in 2016, Calgary was actually shrinking. We had net migration out of the city, the first time in years that our population had shrunk. Today, it continues to grow again, making it one of the fastest growing cities in Canada. The lower southwest quadrant is growing rapidly and yet has very few churches. New communities are being established almost monthly right now. Hudson, Yorkville, Belmont, and Pine Creek are already flourishing. And with the expected completion of the Ring Road in 2021, there will be a further westward expansion into a new large community called Providence. The completion of the southwest section of the Ring Road also opens up opportunities for us. Right now, our target area is bounded by Fish Creek. Once the road crosses that, it expands our target area north towards Signal Hill. Our passion at FAC is to be a church for the city. We know our city is growing and we know that people are coming and we know that those people need to hear about Jesus. We know what this is. This is our call. It is our time and it is our opportunity and purpose and mission. 2019 marks the year that our church plant, the Exchange Church, became fully autonomous 3 years after its launch. And it marks the year that we launched a brand new campus. We have become a multiplying church. Here's some of the wins in case you're curious why we do it. We find fresh expressions of FAC in smaller, more intimate settings. We can go to people rather than simply expecting them to come to us. We can expand our leadership base and have rapidly been activating far more people into ministry than we ever have before. We're discovering economies of scale. We are becoming intentionally much more missional. We can easily share resources. Our vision is growing, and most importantly, people are encountering Jesus. There's so much more I could say, and you can discover all sorts of interesting facts if you get hold of one of these year-at-a-glance ministry reports. You may have got one on your way in, or you can get it on the way out, or download a copy of it. Like Samuel, we can say, this far, the Lord has helped us. We've come this far. Of course, Samuel's story wasn't over. The struggle with the Philistines wasn't over. Like any sports team that raises a banner at the end of an amazing season in their arena, there's still next year to come. But God had brought them this far, and they knew he could take them further. What might that look like for us? What would that further actually be? What are we working on right now? Oh, here's some things. We want to fully develop an apprenticeship program for young adults finding their way into ministry. We currently have 4 apprentices, and they're doing a great job. We want to learn how to provide the best education and experience that we possibly can. We don't have a firm date yet, I want to be honest about that. But I'm hoping that within 2 years, we will have a fully functional and working strategy. We want to become a ministry incubator for young adults and others who want to pursue God's dream in their lives. We're planning to introduce a brand new translation system that will provide simultaneous translation of all our services in all our campuses to over 60 languages simultaneously. You heard me right. Right now we do it in 3. We have the technology to increase that to 60 and plan to do so early next year. We will truly become an international church. We want to continue taking our online ministry to the next stage of its development with the introduction of what we're calling microsites. Right now, many of you get the opportunity to watch at home, and Pastor Corey comes along and hosts you, welcomes you, and wraps up at the end. We want to move to a situation where it's not just your home, it's the people you're gathering around you to experience worship together, to listen to God's word together, to have a small group experience together with a lay pastor, a volunteer, who's truly the host and pastor of that group. It's an opportunity perhaps for us to reach into the downtown condos and the core that are difficult to reach, or to reach to rural and distant locations. It's a huge step for us, and I'm inviting you to pray with me that God would raise up leaders for us who could shoulder this responsibility. We dream of developing a Northeast Mission Center focused around a language school, and are currently working at developing partners for that journey, that we could do this together and make this possibility a reality. We want to develop, it's a dream, to develop additional space for prayer and discipleship. We are maxed out in this building so very often, over 1,000 bookings per month. We want to have classrooms for adult learners to take courses together, to study together, to meet in small groups together. We want to have a dedicated prayer chapel that is used for prayer and not for everything else that we need to put in there at the same time. Our plan is to use the undeveloped third floor of the Deerfoot campus by moving the offices from the second to the third, so that there's easily and accessible space on the second floor, regardless of physical challenges, to be there with a suite of classrooms for people and a dedicated prayer chapel. It actually costs probably $1 million, so if you happen to have the money, give me a call afterwards. You know where to find me on Main Street, just saying. We're currently awaiting final clearance from various regulatory authorities that would allow us to host a preschool or daycare on our facility here in the Deerfoot campus, and hopefully that will become a reality by next fall. Here's one more. This is me personally. Nobody's endorsing this, just me. I dream that we would launch a third campus on the east side of our city. You drive up Stony Trail where it intersects with 17, and they got the big box stores, including Costco, which is the fastest checkout of any Costco in the city, just saying. This message is brought... Stop. There already are communities emerging there on East Hills, Chelsea, Belvedere. When would we do it? Well, there's no firm date to that. We got a lot of thinking and figuring out. But me personally, I dream of us multiplying every 3 years. I dream that we could do this by 2022. Often I use the term urban missionaries to describe our calling as a church, to describe my calling as a pastor. I hope that describes God's call upon your life too. It's no accident we're here, right now. God's heart is for the city, and He is working with us and calling us to align our hearts to His heart. Do you feel it? It's what prompts us to go and be. Go and be disciple makers in our workplace, in our homes, in our communities, in our new campus. It's what motivates us to invite people to come and see what God is doing in the life of our church and through our church. It makes us ask those questions: how can I reach over the fence to somebody I know? Who could I impact by telling the story of Jesus? Who could I impact by living like Jesus in front of them? Who could I invite to come to something with me? Because Jesus Himself has promised you He will go on this adventure with you. I love the Apostle Paul's words to his friends. He says this: I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it through to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Are you confident? Oh. Well, I am. I want to tell you that, whatever you think about me or what we're doing, I am confident that the one who began a good work in us will, he can, and he will carry it through till its completion to the day of Christ. It is why we continue to dream of reaching new parts of our city. It's why we continue to invest in strong, capable young leaders to get us there. It is why we challenge you to pray and give and go. I am confident. Are you? Our mission statement is simple, but it's fairly easy to remember. It's filled with meaning and purpose. I think some of you could remember it. Would you say it with me if you know what it is? Building lives that honor God, all for Jesus. That's what we're all about. And all of our M&M goals, they point in that one direction. All of our dreams, they point in our one direction. That's why my invitation to you is, do you want to be part of it? There are four steps in building a life that honor God that we try to keep it simple so people like me can remember. You see signs all over that say it: connect, grow, serve, and share. It's how we do life together at FEC. It's how we honor God with our lives at FEC, and we'd love for you to participate with us in doing that. Connecting to God and each other. Having a real relationship with God and a small group relationship to pour into your life with other followers of Jesus. If you've never met Jesus, I'd love you to get to know him today and would love to talk to you about that. If you're not in a small group, we would love to help you get connected to one today. But we also want to take intentional steps to grow in faith. We have lots of classes. You see them advertised online or in the handout. Lots of ways to deepen our relationship. We've got baptism. We have membership. There are so many ways that we would love to help you grow. We learn to serve because we serve God by serving others. It's pretty hard to be a follower of Jesus if you're not serving. It just is. But we try to make it as easy as possible, a simple online tool called Shape that'll help you discover where you think God has got you pointing, the ideal spot for you. And we have opportunities galore for you to bless others, to meet new people, to truly discover this is what God made me for, and I want to spend my life doing this. We want to learn how to share together. To share the story of Jesus in our words, in our lifestyle, in our deeds, by getting over the fence. So here's what I'd love to challenge you with today. If you sense, yeah, that's me, that's what I want to do. I'm all in. I want to be part of what God's doing here. I want to be part of what's going on. I believe this is his call in my life. I'd like to grab your name tag that you've got stuck on. And in a moment or two, when we sing a song together, come up to one of these crosses at the front. You'll see they're covered in them. You can try and stick it on. If it falls on the floor, it's not the end of the world. It's a simple way for us to say, Jesus, you're everything to me, and I want to say yes to you. It's a simple way for me to recognize that if Jesus is truly all to me, then I want to be all in. So Father, today we say thank you for the marker moments that this year has been for many of us personally and for all of us together as a large family. We've gone to places we could barely have expected. Thank you for your faithfulness and kindness to us. Thank you for Jesus, that he's brought us into your family. Thank you for the story of this past year and today. And this simple act of dedication, we're simply recognizing, Jesus, you are all to us. And I want to say to you, I'm all in. We pray in his name. Amen. So as we sing, why don't you come, make your way to the front. Stick your name in one of those crosses. Simply say, Jesus, you're mine, and I'm yours.